Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello.
I know, it's been like, I say as always, but I feel like it's been forever since we've actually had like a full-on like Gamers Inn, you and me episode.
Well, yeah, not over Skype, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not counting the live Nerdtacular episode. I just mean, like, straight up, you and me in our normal spots, like, man, oh, man.
it feels like it's been a while, although I wanted to get all caught up, and I wanted to thank good friend Ping Pong Pete, otherwise known as Savage Seven, otherwise known as Mr. Kearney, otherwise known as Matt Kearney, for filling in last week. Also,
he did a fantastic job.
I gotta admire his gumption. And can you guess why?
I cannot guess why.
Well, you're gonna hate that you weren't able to guess. The fact that he kept saying bros and hearing you deteriorate over the show was kind of fantastic. I think he did that. I was kind of figuring he would like snap back around on that one, but he didn't. And that it was very good of him. And then he went full circle and called his brother a bros.
Yeah, no, it was really starting to get to me, and I was just like, damn it, I thought I'd be able to turn him around and just, you know, kind of, oh, come on, please. didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do appreciate it. I was thinking there was a lot of good conversation on that show, and not a whole, like, and it's funny, like, I'm out for a week and just Hearthstone. Boom, everywhere, all over the show.
You're right.
it wasn't, I'm just joking. It wasn't that bad. There was a lot of like big words going over my head, and Kearney was nice enough to let those big words keep flowing. But there was still some good conversation there as per usual. And with the big announcement, I mean, no one's going to blame you. Like, there was some big news last week.
Well, that was the thing. Like, there was so much that happened with Gamescom last week. Like, I mean, Blizzard was just like splur all the things all over Gamescom. Like, there was Hearthstone news like crazy. We got the Joust stuff, we got the ladder rewards, there was the new expansion for Warcraft announced, which I'll touch on a little bit later. But just like, man, oh man, Gamescom was crazy for new Blizzard stuff. So yeah, I went a little bit nuts with the Hearthstone, so sorry.
It's all good. And you know what? Judging by the chat room, hello, chat room. Eric Mahler was very excited that you talked about Hearthstone and actually got him to re-download it. And I didn't get a chance to talk about Nerdtacular, which the one thing I will say on the note of Hearthstone is that every single time more than two people gathered around a table, Hearthstone would come up. And Ashley had like a running bet. Okay, how long is it going to take for Hearthstone to come up? By the end of our vacation, she's like, man, you guys talk about Hearthstone a lot. Like, it comes up every conversation.
It's true. It's because it's so accessible for every single kind of gamer. It's complicated enough that it doesn't really get the stigma of like a mobile game, but people can play on their tablets, so they can sit around a table at an event like Nerdtacular and they can play. But it still is hardcore enough to have esports. They've got all the announcements that are going on right now with the new expansion. Like, Hearthstone is on the tip of everybody's tongue. It's amazing. Get a bunch of nerds together and they're just like, Hearthstone, 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 Hearthstone. Like, yay!
Yeah.
That's a happy Hearthstone dance, in case.
Exactly. And I'm actually looking to get back into Hearthstone. I think after all the conversations at Nerdtacular, it was like, all right, fine. Obviously, I need to give it another fair shake. I've given it a lot. I've actually still play, but it was funny because the weekend after Nerdtacular, Ashley, it was her birthday this weekend, and we met up with her family, and her younger sister plays Hearthstone, Adriana, and she actually really, really likes Hearthstone. And again, that's not, I shouldn't say it like that, but it was just surprising because she's not a gamer. She doesn't play a lot of video games, and she plays Hearthstone. She does ladder on her iPad and stuff, nice. And she plays against her boyfriend, and I'm like, you're probably better than me at Hearthstone.
That's not hard to do, Ryan. Let's be honest.
It's true. My deck was made like before the game came out, and I still use that for ladder. That's probably why it takes
you
me
have
a
the
solid
same
month.
Like deck you've had since beta. That was literally 2 years ago, dude.
I know. That's how often I play and or try at Hearthstone. But That's why it takes me a month to get rank 20 to get my card back, because I just have to keep rolling into idiots until I hit 20. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm working on it. I've got some plans, and we'll see.
Ryan, you hurt my head.
Well, that's why I'm hoping you can help me out, but we can talk about that tomorrow. It's fine. We're doing a show. We're not going to fix Ryan's Hearthstone problem here right now.
That is true. That is true.
It's going to take at least another day or two.
But yeah, so that is one of the things that I played a lot of this week. I kind of realized that with all the vacationing and everything else, even though we're only 12 days into the season, I really, really had not played a lot of Hearthstone. I was only ranked 20, and that was left over from my bonus stars from last season. So, because I think I only got to like, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe 9 last season. I didn't do very well last season. Because I went away on vacation kind of halfway through. So I played this morning. I was playing the Malygos, which I know you don't know, but the Malygos Warlock deck, which is I find super fun. It's not really consistent, but it's fun. There's a Malygos in it, yep. It's basically Warlock. Based on like a big, huge, like end game one turn spell kill. Mm. But yeah, so it's really, really funny. Fun playing Hearthstone right now for me and getting ramped up for the new expansion. But what I did want to just quickly tell everybody is Garrett and I, if you're fans of Angry Chicken, Garrett and I did a one-off like Warcraft talking about the new expansion show, which I think ended up being somewhere over 2 hours long. We had some technical difficulties right in the middle of it, but it was a really, really fun show. We talked a bunch about Legion, although we couldn't even get through everything that they announced. And it was really just a fun way to kind of geek out about all of our passion surrounding WoW and the universe and where Blizzard's going with the story. So if you guys want to check it out, it's over on the Angry Chicken feed. It was a lot of fun. Let us know feedback, all that kind of stuff to tacpodcast@gmail.com with the subject... just put WoW in the subject, and then we'll know that it's about that and not about Angry Chicken. And let us know if we should do more. Feedback has been pretty positive, but if you want to know kind of where I'm at in WoW right now, what I'm playing in WoW right now, and what I think about what's coming, head on over to amovetv.com. No, wait, amove.tv. I'm so used to pimping the Twitch channel that I can't remember where the freaking dot goes. But yeah, it's up on amove.tv. So what have you been playing? Have you been playing very much this last week? You were in Utah a lot longer than I was.
Yeah, I got back Wednesday, like 11 p.m. So I got home like 2, and then basically Thursday was a write-off because I had like 4 hours of sleep. But I did have a vacation, and I did manage to get a good amount of gaming. And I'm not going to like go over like, oh, what I played on the plane, because most of that stuff's like old.
Yeah,
old news, like 3DS, like I watched Tomorrowland, which isn't even a video game. What the hell was I thinking? Although I was sitting beside this is not gamer related, but I was sitting beside, we wanted to move seats so we could sit together because Air Canada is a terrible company. And basically what happened was, oh, we got you sitting together. I'm like, perfect, this is great, Air Canada, you did it. We got in to get our seats, and sitting beside us was a mother flying alone with her 7-month-old child. And I thought to myself before the plane even took off, was like, oh, this is what happens. This is going to be my story where I complain about kids on a plane. And I know I'm not supposed to complain about that considering I'm having a kid, but
exactly. You're about to be one of those people.
And then, so
unless you just never travel.
Right. Well, and then think about what I just said and what I did on the plane, where I watched a movie, I played video games. 5 hours later on the flight, I pull my headphones out, and I turn to this mother and I say, you know what? He really wasn't that bad. It was all good. Like, he did really well for a 5-hour flight. And then Ashley tells me later, like, yeah, he was crying the whole time. You had your headphones in. So you can tell I'm going to make a wonderful father. And I definitely, like, I guess she was having a rough time with the baby. So I definitely had a Ryan moment where I put my foot in my mouth by, like, congratulating her on her 7-month-old having a fantastic flight. Which could, after 5 hours, easily sound like sarcasm. So I felt, if I wasn't half asleep, I would have felt extra terrible when it happened. But I did feel really bad that that happened. So, yeah, I just had to get that off my chest. But when I did get home, I played, I have an Xbox One, and I downloaded, yes, Azax, I know, I'm terrible. I played Rare Replay, which is a...
Okay. I'm really excited to hear about this, okay. Because this is the whole, like, all the Rare games are available on Xbox One now, right? Or not all, but what, 30?
Yes, 30 games. And $30. Sorry, did you ask about money or did you ask about games? I was just
no, games.
Games. Well, luckily enough, the answer is both. It's $30 and it's 30 games.
Perfect.
So, full circle. Ryan, stop being distracted by the chat room. This is why I don't tell stories, folks. You just ruin it for everybody. There are 30 games, and they range from the very first title that Rare put out as a before they were even known as Rare to their most recent game that could really be tagged as a Rare game, which was Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So it ranges from, like, old school Amiga PC era graphics all the way to 360. And the best part is, like I said, it's $30. I'm gonna like just skip to the end here and say this is probably the best compilation of games that I've ever played.
Because that's what I was a little bit curious about. I mean, like, 30 games, $30, the whole, like, retro replay thing. Like, I was thinking, did, like, the nostalgia kind of be like, oh, my God, I'm looking at all these titles. I'm going to spend $30 on buying them. And then you boot them up and you're like, oh, wait, this was crap. Now I remember. Was there, like, a rose-colored glasses thing going on? Or was it actually, like, fun and worth it and you're enjoying your experience?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if we were talking about a Nintendo collection, like, it would be a rose-colored glasses thing because it was... Whenever Nintendo put a collection out, it's like, happy Kirby anniversary. Here's, like, a shitty, like, menu linking to four emulated titles that we didn't even touch. And that is a nostalgic cash-in. That is literally you saying, like, pay us $60. We're going to give you a product that we put zero time into, and yay, cash grab. And that's me being super harsh. And I know I own a bunch of Nintendo compilations. And as you know, on the virtual console, you can happily give Nintendo about $15 per NES game if you really wanted mm-hmm. to. And then on Rare Replay, not only have they packaged these old games as well as newer games, like some of these games are just last generation, and they're giving them to you for a dollar.
Yeah. And this is Xbox One only, right?
This is Xbox One only.
Okay. I thought so, but chat room was asking. So
yeah, for sure. And that, like, Rare is a first party company owned by Microsoft. They have full control over Rare, and that has sort of been seen as, like, the downfall of Rare. And I think that's more so because Rare just kind of did their own thing, and they really latched on to the what do they call them? Avatar games that they did, like with the sports and the Kinect stuff.
Oh, all the all the Kinect stuff. Yeah. Yep.
That's why there hasn't really been a Rare title since 2008 when Banjo-Kazooie came out, which was probably the last Rare game that I played and thoroughly enjoyed, which is included in this collection. But the thing that makes this such a great package is that not only does it present you with these 30 games, there's a menu, and it's like, here's the 30 games, here's when they came out, you can launch them from here, perfect. That'd be the bare minimum that you'd expect. And if that was all there was there, it'd be like, yeah, this is a pretty good compilation. But they've added two extra features, one of which is called Snapshots, which is, I don't know if you recall NES Remix. I've talked about it a few times in the show, but it was basically like older titles with snippets taken out and allowing you to play these small snippets as a challenge. So there are most of the pre-Super NES games that Rare made are all included in full their full glory, I suppose. But there are also five snapshots for each one of them. So, say, Battletoads, which Azax in the chat room is asking, do they have Battletoads? Battletoads.
Battletoads?
They have two Battletoads games. I almost did it again.
I don't like your Battletoad, Ryan.
I don't like your Battletoad.
Oh my god, that's totally going to be a multiplayer thing from now on. Instead of Attitude, Battletoad.
Rare, you can have that one. If they ever want to make a sequel to Battletoads, they could call it Battletoads 3.
Battletoad.
I don't like your Battletoad. Or something stupid like that. So Battletoads, as an example, has these five snapshots that'll allow you to play snippets of the game. One of those snippets is the... are you familiar with Battletoads at all?
Me? No.
Okay. Well, there is...
It sounds amazing. It sounds like toads doing battle, and I'm way on board with that.
It's toads doing battle. It's totally toads. Battle toads.
No, don't... See, toads is right up there with bros. Like...
Is it?
Come on, Ryan.
I didn't say bros. But those battle toads certainly are bros. Anyways, it's kind of considered this super difficult game. And one of the biggest challenges in that game is this sort of... bike sequence where you have to dodge pillars and go over jumps, and it's super old school difficulty. So one of those snippets is that moment in the game where you are trying to dodge these stone pillars and stuff. Let's say, for example, I was a masochist and was able to beat that snippet. I would get what they call a stamp, and you collect these stamps by completing achievements, completing snippets, playing games across the whole package. There are like 330 stamps you can collect. Those stamps then go on a card, and by far the best feature of Rare Replay, which they didn't have to do, is it unlocks videos documentary style about Rare. So not only are you Rare games, you're watching, you're slowly unlocking these pieces of a 60-minute documentary, and it starts from the bare bones unlock right away sort of stuff, where it's like, what makes a Rare game? What are the voices of Rare games? And then it goes on to, how did we make Banjo, Conker, Cameo, and all the way to unreleased songs and unreleased games that were canceled by Rare. And they kind of like go into detail about, you know, why we canceled it, where we were going with it, why it didn't work out. And it's just kind of this package that they've put together, and I never expected Microsoft to actually, one of the youngest companies in the industry, to create this nostalgia-driven collection. It kind of boggles my mind that they did it. They were the first to do it properly for value, and it's like $30, and it's probably the best compilation. And Microsoft is beating Nintendo at their own game. It took them 10 years of owning Rare, but they finally did it. Finally let Rare beat Nintendo. It's kind of funny. But if you have an Xbox One, and even if you want like two or three games out of the collection, it's worth it, because you would pay probably $15 for each Banjo-Kazooie game, $30 for Xbox 360 games. If you look at what other companies are offering at, it's kind of a steal. And I'm excited for what Rare is going to do next based on what they've done with this game. It's really something special for those who really enjoy Rare games. It's super cool. Have you played any Rare games at all, like back in the N64 days?
I was going to say, yeah, N64 would have been my kind of experience with Rare. I mean, the Donkey Kong.
Right.
I freaking love those games.
And of course, there are no Donkey... the way they've said it is, of course, there's no Nintendo games. So there's no Donkey Kong, no Diddy Kong Racing.
Which was like the very first thing when I saw this. I was like, oh my God, Rare game, Donkey Kong. And then I was like, hang on a second, probably not.
Yeah.
Stupid Nintendo.
You can get all those games on your Wii U. But again, you're paying probably $10 for each Super NES game, and then you're paying another $15 for N64 games.
And you have to have a Wii U.
You have to own a Wii U, so suddenly $30 and an Xbox One, that's looking pretty good, as opposed to buying a Wii U and buying these games that are basically untouched. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting the way they've sort of worded it in interviews, because there's a couple games in there that they didn't include that you would think would be in there, like GoldenEye is not in there. And the way they put it is like, this is Rare Replay. This is about Rare worlds that Rare built. So there's no licensed stuff. Sure, cop out, but nobody likes GoldenEye, right? Perfect Dark is the superior GoldenEye, right?
True. Yeah. Obviously.
We're gonna get emails about that.
I did love GoldenEye, but Perfect Dark was the superior game.
Yeah.
Not the Xbox Perfect Dark. Let's be clear, that was shit. But
Perfect Dark Zero? See, I never played it. So I'm kind of like sitting there like, yeah, awful. I might play this. Is it bad?
So terrible.
Well, I did boot up Cameo for about 5 minutes, and I'm like, whew, these Rare Xbox 360 game launch titles are pretty terrible. So.
Oh, man, I totally had a question for you about Rare, and I totally forgot. Oh, well, if I think of it, I'll come back to it.
Sure.
So have you been playing anything else before I talk about my awesome co-op experience over the weekend?
Ooh, I did want to quickly touch on everybody going to the Rapture, because that seems to be what everybody's doing in the game.
Everybody's gone to the Rapture?
It is. I was making a terrible joke, a pun joke, if you will.
Oh, okay.
A fun joke.
It wasn't very punny at all.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of just, it was not at all good. Anyways, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is a PS4 exclusive. I started it yesterday, and I'm not going to go into super detail because I'm still playing it. And I did want to say, though, it's kind of like a first-person narrative explorative game, sort of like Gone Home, but slower. That's the first thing anyone's going to notice as soon as they boot it up is like, wow, this is pretty. And also, I'm moving terribly slow.
Oh, like you move slowly, not just like the story moves slowly.
You move incredibly slow. It's like...
It's like you're walking through Jell-O or something?
Kind of like you're walking through Jell-O. That's a really good way of putting it. And I know if you look at their reviews, like people are like, oh, you can run. What are you doing? It's like, you can run, but it's a gradual pace. And I find it only works when you're in outdoor environments. And by gradual, I mean like as soon as you hold the run button, you start to move a little bit quicker. And it builds up to not even a slow walk. Mm. But that's not what the game's about.
Is it more like Gone Home in that like you're interacting with a whole bunch of stuff in the environment and solving puzzles and stuff, or is it more exploratory only like Life is Strange. Even then, Gone Home, yeah, you were kind of trying to solve a mystery and going through and looking at a whole bunch of different stuff. So is it more like that, or is it more, because I'm thinking of, and you mentioned it in our text conversation earlier, or maybe Twitter, whatever,
Dear Escher.
Yeah, that one. That was more of just like you were pretty much just kind of walking around, and I think you found some notes and stuff, right?
Yeah, Dear Escher was sort of a Steam demo game where you were in a pretty environment and you walked in a direction, and then you'd hit a point where it would trigger this audio.
Yeah, give you more story. Yeah, but you didn't actually have to like do anything. There was no like action really other than your exploration. This similar?
It's similar. There's more to it. It's less linear. In Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, you're sort of dropped in this world. Nobody's around. You know, theoretically, everybody's gone to the Rapture. So that you as a player controller, you're all that's left in the world. And as you're exploring, you see these lights that are sort of...
What did you do that's so bad that everyone got raptured? Everyone literally in the world except for you.
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is I'm only, I guess I'll say, two chapters in, and that's not a spoiler. That's more so like, I don't really know how to segment the game. Mm. As you're exploring, you're introduced to these characters through these quasi-flashbacks, like literal flashbacks, where you find this light that's moving through the environment, and you'll come across segments where just figures of light will pop out of nowhere and start to like show. It's like a pop-up play where you'll just stop and you'll hear these two characters talk to each other, and you get a bit of like what happened before all this went down sort of context, character
like an
context.
Echo kind of idea.
Yeah, like very much like an Echo. And I gotta caution people who are obviously seeing a lot of reviews out there and a lot of positive praise about this game, because I feel like this is going to be another Gone Home syndrome where everyone's like, Gone Home's getting really good reviews. I'm going to go play it. Where's the gun? Where's the jump button? How come I can't move very quickly? Like, this is not your typical game. This is very much you're exploring the world. You're moving slowly as you enjoy the environment and find sort of corners of the world that present this another piece of this mystery that you're trying to not solve, but experience. It's one of those just sit back and relax games. And I had to remind myself a few times as I was like, this is not moving quick enough. I'm bored. Mm-hmm. But it's not that you're bored.
You?
It's more
bored?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I was getting
that
the point.
It must be a slow game.
And that's why I wanted to warn people. It is a little slow, but the more you sort of creep forward and uncover these vignettes, you kind of realize like, oh, okay, I'm getting more and more interested in these characters, in the story of what's going on. And I mean, the title may, I don't know, I haven't gotten that far, but the title may be not even exactly what it's about. Like, Everybody's Gone in the Rapture could be kind of this tongue-in-cheek title where it's like nobody's around, but you don't know what happened because you're plopped into this world. And it is weird that there's this giant ball of light floating around, but that could be anything, you know? It's really cool. I enjoy it as an experience, just like I enjoyed Dear Usher and Gone Home. So if you liked Gone Home, then Everybody's Gone in the Rapture is a nice next step in those type of games. If you didn't like Gone Home, oh boy, you're probably not going to like this game.
Yeah, don't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
I liked Gone Home. I really did. Gone Home pretty much kept me on the edge of my seat because I kept expecting things to jump out at me. Like, I don't know, ghosts, crazy serial killer dudes. Like, I was fully, every single time I walked around a corner, expecting something to jump out at me. And there were some jump scares just from, like, lightning outside and stuff like that. Yeah, Gone Home really kept me on the edge of my seat. I enjoyed it. I'm going to at least try Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Because I remember us talking about this. I feel like it was when it was first announced. So I'm going to check it out, take a look, and poke around and see what it's like and give it more than 10 minutes of my time.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Well, it's funny. Like, the first 10 minutes are actually really cool because they set up the world and you kind of get your first experience of how you're going to digest the story, right? But then after that first 10 minutes, it's sort of, you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be like Dear Usher, where it's super linear and I walk down a path, I get a story, I walk down a path. After that first 10 minutes, it's like, okay, you've done the path, let's open it up and you can explore. And when that happens, you're kind of overwhelmed and like, I move so slow and I got to explore all of this. And R2 is your friend. Hold that down all the time. You might even just want to like tape it down, so this way you don't get like a finger cramp from trying to run the whole time. I really dig it. And it's nice to slow down every once in a while after, like, with Rare Replay, literally jumping from one game to the next. And there are 30 of those on that disc. Like, that's what I did for the first 3 days, is I just trying to unlock all those stamps. I'm like, all right, I'm going to play a bit of this, I'm going to play a bit of that. And then to just play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture just to relax and, you know, once you find a piece of the story, you just sit back and enjoy it and then move on. It's really cool. $20 on PS4. I recommend it to all those who did enjoy Gone Home. If you don't know what Gone Home is, go play that. And then if you like it, go play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Fair enough. I played a couple of games that were a little bit more like in your face, super fun, like high action type stuff. Matt was here for the weekend, so we played some couch co-op, Towerfall Ascension, which, oh my god, as much as I love playing video games with him, I thought I was, you know, okay at least at video games until I sat down and started playing stuff with him, because honestly, like, he can just pick up a new game and be like, pew, 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 I'm the best. And I'm like, pew, what? Oh, I'm dead.
Wait a minute. That's not a... Did he tell you that was his first time playing or something?
No, he didn't necessarily. Why? Has he played a ton before?
Oh, man.
We, like, started at the very beginning.
We played that game... Sorry, Matt. We played a bunch of this game when he was over for one of our LAN parties, like...
Oh, because I literally, like, I was still trying to figure out...
Good.
And he was like... And he was just like, oh yeah, you just do this, and then remember this guy does this thing and pew pew pew, and he's still got all his lives and I'm totally dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's good at it. I mean, it's a Smash type game, and we played four players and we were having,
oh my god,
a blast.
Four players would be crazy. So we played two player and we were playing just normal difficulty for the most part. We went through all the levels. It was so fun. And then I tried to play by myself and I like died on wave two. I was like, and here I thought I was contributing.
Josh, I'm not throwing people under the bus. I'm being honest. It's honesty here. And again, let me backpedal here a little bit. Like, kind of have to assume that if Kearney suggests we're going to play a game, he's at least played it once, and by once, a sitting of a good couple hours.
Now I'm onto him.
Yeah, now you know. Okay, maybe I was throwing him on the bus, but he knows I love him. It's all good. He'd throw me under the bus in a second as well, like last week when he said I was slacking because I was traveling instead of posting an episode.
True.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Tower Fall. So basically what it is you get to, all of the dudes have the same abilities, which is essentially shoot arrows. You have to either shoot an enemy with an arrow or jump on their head to kill them. You kill all the enemies and then you're done. So it's kind of like a continuous platformer because you can like run through the side and come out on the other side, or you can like fall through the floor and pop out through the ceiling. And there's like portals all over the level where the bad guys spawn from. And there's a whole ton of different kind of bad guys. There's like floaty ghosts, there's bats, there's slimy ooze things that kind of like just go along the floor until they jump in your face and kill you. Then there's like more complicated guys that act very much like you do and shoot arrows at you, and you can like catch their arrows and they can catch your arrows. And it's a really, really a lot of fun. And it's just kind of like wave after wave after wave that gets harder and harder and harder. I haven't played a game like this in a really long time. And man, I loved the crap out of it. It was so much fun. And I was like, at first I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Ha ha ha. Jocelyn's terrible. Whatever. But then by the end of it, I was like, no, I have to do good now. Like, I was getting like way, way hardcore into it. And it took us like 16 attempts, I think, to beat the level with the final boss. But we did it. We were literally like, we're not stopping until we finish this stupid freaking game.
It's a fun title.
It is. It's so, so fun. So we played it on PS4. And actually, I think it's a PS4 exclusive, I think.
Well, it's a unless you count the Ouya, which you shouldn't.
So it's a PS4 exclusive.
Well, that would have been a funny joke if it wasn't also available on PC as well. I think it's on Steam.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think, but there's no online play. So this is a title for me, Towerfall Ascension, where it's awesome to have four controllers and be in the same room with three of your buddies playing, but there's no online, so we couldn't play against each other. Unless we were in the same room. So I think it's really neat. And it's one of those titles that I will always bust out whenever I have people in the house. It's like, let's all play Towerfall because it's super fun. It reminds me so much of Smash Brothers. Like, what makes Smash Brothers so good? Notice how I'm saying Smash Brothers. What makes it so good is because, is because you can all... It just supports couch co-op. It's so much fun. And it's... quick rounds, it's beat 'em up, and with Towerfall Ascension you feel like a badass as you're like catching arrows midair and shooting arrows back, and the more you play the better you get. And
I also should mention there is friendly fire, so you can probably imagine how that went.
Yeah, you probably shot people a bunch of times that were on
your
team.
He shot me too.
Okay. I'm just speaking
sometimes
in general.
Right off the bat, before there were even any enemies.
Yeah. Oh, and it's got a great replay function where it shows you the whole match and you fast forward through it. And this is when I was playing multiplayer, from what I remember. You could fast forward through the whole thing and watch the whole thing. You could save it as a video, as the PS4 shares or basically captures every match you play. And if you have that really badass moment, you can just save it to your hard drive and watch it whenever you want. And it's just, it's so good. It's so well done. It's really too bad it was an Ouya exclusive and that's how it started. I'm glad it survived. But it was really the only reason to own an Ouya, which was Towerfall. But those controllers were terrible. So I don't know how you played that thing, guys.
Yeah, it was really fun on PS4 though. So yeah, you guys should go pick it up. The other thing that I did that I think almost gave Matt an aneurysm was I played some more Batman, and I've now gotten to the Riddler, and I spent probably a good half an hour to 45 minutes doing that racetrack. It turns out I'm terrible at driving the Batmobile.
Yeah. Now this is the first racetrack.
Yeah, it's literally the very first one. You have to go around the track three times, and each time it gets harder and harder and harder. And you have to basically use the circle button. Mm-hmm. God, I still haven't learned my PlayStation controller. It's so bad.
Well, you won't learn it with Everybody's Gone to the Rapture because there's two buttons. And you do this occasionally, which you'll love if you're good into Mario Kart. But you probably did that a lot when you're playing Batman. I found that
I did.
That first little segment of racing where they kind of like, hey, you've driven through the streets with the Batmobile for like 2 minutes. Now we're going to put you against a test where you're going to race. Mm-hmm. And it kind of catches you off guard, especially if you're not familiar with how to really control the Batmobile. And now did when you jumped back in. Well, yeah, it just kept
telling me to like boost and like first of all, I jumped back in. I was halfway through like where I'd left it, where I was halfway through a challenge where you learn how to use your rockets on the Batmobile. I couldn't figure that out for the life of me because obviously I missed the instruction part. And then so I'm kind of like trying to figure that out and you're learning to move with like the left trigger, like the rocket thing up, open, usable, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a totally different kind of driving. And then I went to the Riddler thing and did the racetrack. And like I was saying, using the circle button, you have to essentially like there's red pieces and there's green pieces. So when you hit the circle button, you kind of toggle the red pieces or the green pieces on. Oh. And sometimes they're floor segments. Sometimes they're like walls that are blocking the racetrack. I'm trying to think of what. Oh, sometimes they're doors. But basically, you're supposed to, you know, drive through. And as you're driving, you're toggling these things open and closed to help you get through the racetrack. And that's like the puzzle, right? The number of times I thought I was past like a wall and I wasn't actually, and I went to toggle the next wall and like the red wall would just slam in and I'd explode. Like, I'm pretty sure I did that. The first time I did it, I was like, oh my God, I probably couldn't do that again. That was perfect timing. Like, there's no way I'm going to explode myself with the door again. I must have done it 25 times. Yeah. I think Matt was ready to just like get up and walk into the other room. Like, I can't watch this anymore. And I was just like, I was laughing harder and harder and harder every time I did something crazy and ridiculous. There's one part where you have to like drive up on the side wall sort of thing. And so I kept like driving up on the wall and he's like, this will be so easy for you because you always drive on the wall in Rocket League. And I literally went like up the wall and down into the water and up the wall and down into the water. He was just like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, yeah. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman? Question mark?
Yeah.
I remember like it was yesterday, which it wasn't. It was a long time ago and many painful Riddler trophies ago. That racetrack was pretty infuriating. So I know where you're coming from. And boy, are you going to have fun with the future racetracks, which are 10 times as infuriating, especially that last one. And then guess what, Jocelyn? There are challenges that allow you to do them again under harder circumstances.
As soon as I finished getting my three laps and I could move on, I was like, oh, okay, good. And I was like, wait, why is this little like see-through wheelie thing here?
Right.
And then it said like restart challenge. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, no.
And it was like, you can now, you know, try to get stars. Because I was like, well, why would I do it again? And then he's like, oh, well, you can get, like, stars for your performance. I'm like, I am totally doing this. And he's just like, oh, no. And then the first time I did it, I was, like, 13 milliseconds away from getting 2 stars in it. I freaking rocked it.
Oh, there you go.
And I was just like, he's like, where was that for the last 25 minutes?
Oh, it was only 25 minutes? The way you're describing this painstaking task, it sounded like you were at it for a good hour or so.
Well, actually, yeah, I think in the end,
I guess you were playing the video game, so it seemed like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I really realistically don't know how long it was, but it was somewhere between, I would say, about half an hour and an hour of this racetrack. So fun though.
So you like the Batmobile then, even though you kind of had.
I'm always bad, like unless it's a full on like racing game. I'm always bad at maneuvering vehicles. It doesn't matter if it's like the horse in Red Dead, the car in like LA Noir, or the Batmobile in Batman. I'm terrible at maneuvering video game vehicles. So. I know this about myself. I know I'm never going to be good at it. But, racing games, I'm fine. But for whatever reason, when it's, like, tacked into another game, I don't know if it's, like, switching controls or switching mechanics or switching movement style. But one way or another, I am terrible. So, I don't know. I'm sure I've already said that I'm going to go get all the Riddler trophies. So we know that the Batmobile is going to be a big factor in my life. But, yeah.
I'm
not happy about it.
I really came to love the Batmobile. Just make sure you go in and you change it to toggle tank mode, because I did that at the very end of the game and was like, damn it.
Oh, tank mode is the thing that normally you hold your left trigger down, right?
Yeah.
Because honestly, my freaking left pointer finger was so sore. It's still sore today from like holding it down when you're trying to tank mode.
You can't toggle run mode and everybody's gone to the rapture. So again, you're either going to switch to tank mode in Batman, or you're going to just train those trigger fingers to just do this the entire time you're playing.
Yeah. And then you have to like do this while you're thising. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh man, hurts.
But toggle on tank mode and then you'll actually control it like you believe you should be controlling a car in a video game, where the left bumper is stop and the right bumper is go, you know? Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Wolf Bane says index finger. Thank you. this pointy one, you know? This one? Yeah, this finger, ow.
For those audio listeners who aren't getting the finger show,
yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, it could be a puppet show. So anyways. For the audio listeners.
Oh my god, Ryan. Oh my god.
What? Nothing. They have finger puppets. It's a thing.
Yep, they do. So Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to upgrade to a solid state drive when you purchase a new gaming rig.
I just got
it. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week, and we are talking about Phil Spencer and his comments on third-party exclusives. So I'm going to throw this link in the chat room here in case you guys have not seen these quotes, because mm-hmm. I think it's kind of funny and very sour grapey. What do you think, Ryan? So do you want to give us a quick summary of what Xbox has said about PlayStation?
Yeah, so Phil Spencer, I really like this guy. He's the head of Xbox. He's a gamer. He talks about games passionately, and he loves Microsoft. He loves the Xbox One. So when he talks about his company and their games, he speaks from the heart. And you can imagine that when companies ask him, like, how do you feel about the PlayStation 4 getting all these third-party exclusives from third-party publishers? They locked down Street Fighter V. They've locked down a couple other like exclusives. I know, well, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is an exclusive. And there are many others out there. And third-party exclusives have sort of become more important this generation, where you see Microsoft and Sony sort of battling it out. Now, Phil Spencer has said, you know, they aren't getting those exclusives because they have a higher market share. It's because Sony is paying for them. They're buying these third-party exclusives rather than earning them by being the biggest market share. That's not how it works, or as how he's saying it doesn't work that way.
Which, my way of thinking, who cares how it works? Sony's the one who's doing what their customers want, so what's the problem? Like, is Microsoft just isn't willing to shell out the dough? Or, like, I don't understand, like, I don't understand what the problem is here. What's the problem in paying money to developers to develop for your system?
Well, it depends how you look at it. If you look at third-party exclusives, there was this great quote when I was actually trying to find an article that had everything in it that I saw like a week ago when I saw this. I came across articles of like a Tomb Raider exclusive announcement and how that one was announced exclusively for Microsoft as a holiday exclusive. And then we later found out that it's coming to Windows in early 2016, and then PS4 finally a whole year later. And some of the quotes out there were basically that I lost my train of thought. it was going somewhere really good too. But it was basically how third-party exclusives on consoles don't help anybody but the developer or the publisher. Like, it's not consumer friendly to say, hey, we're going to snap up this game that would normally be on all the platforms and keep it to ourselves. And it really only benefits.
I can kind of see that because, there's some third party exclusives on Xbox that I would like to potentially play, and I can't because I own a PS4, not an Xbox. But at the same time, if it's benefiting developers, like, I want to benefit developers. I want more games. I want more content, and I want people to get paid for that content and well. Mm. So I don't necessarily want this to stop. Sometimes it sucks, but I'd rather pay more and own both consoles than see developers take a hit.
Yeah, like the case of Street Fighter V, that game wouldn't exist if a major publisher didn't step in and say, hey, we'll help fund this. You know, Street Fighter V wouldn't exist if Sony didn't, quote-unquote, buy it. They didn't buy it, they're helping out. Same with Shenmue 3. Like, they're helping to make that game a reality, therefore they've locked it to their system. They're not going to put a bunch of money into a project so they can put it on Microsoft systems or on PC. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, is that Microsoft is saying these comments, but then they are going around and doing a similar fashion. I would say having Rise of the Tomb Raider for a whole year before PS4 is the same as having an exclusive on the game. Like a year. By the time
it's
a year,
yeah, it's a really long time in gaming. By the time your game's been out for a year, like, I don't even remember what was going on this time last year, because everything in my wheelhouse right now is stuff that's released in the last few months. Like, gamers don't tend to live on a year-long cycle. You've got a couple of months tops. Like, there's games that I absolutely loved. We were talking about it. I must have been with Matt. About South Park, Stick of Truth. I freaking loved that game, and I still haven't finished it. Like, because other stuff came out, and I moved on. And it's unfortunate, because it was really, really fun. I liked the combat system. Like, all of it was great. If they end up doing a second one, I will buy the second one and play it. But yeah, I have not finished a lot of my big AAA titles. Like, I started them all, I like them all, but it's like, you know, I get Witcher and I play a few hours of Witcher, and then Batman comes and then I play Batman, and all of this time I've got Hearthstone and WoW in the background. And when you've got all that kind of stuff and you've got things like WoW that's releasing content, you know, fairly steadily with their patches-ish, we'll not talk too much about Draenor because we all know what's going on there, but you know, like, with a fairly steady release of content in these MMOs that I'm playing, a really steady release of content in Hearthstone, plus all of these AAA titles, like, geez, you move on way faster than in a year.
Yeah, I agree with you. A couple months is definitely, like, that sweet spot, which is, and, you know, speaking of PC and Rise of the Tomb Raider coming to PC, I was mistaken, the chat room corrected me. Street Fighter V is also coming to PC, so it's... PC is legitimately, it's like no man's land when it comes to these big companies. I'm not saying it's no man's land in terms of gamers. A lot of gamers play on PC, myself included. But you kind of get best of both worlds there. Unless you like Nintendo games, in which you're screwed if you don't own a Nintendo system. But we're strictly talking about the big boys here. When it comes to Microsoft and Sony, they seem to feel like, well, rather than get yelled at for being anti-consumer, we'll just release it on PC and that should suffice to allow people to give us a break on this. But I honestly believe, like, if a company can make a game, there's no point in locking it to your system. Like, imagine if Destiny was locked. Well, that's the argument, right? Like, if Destiny needed to be locked to a system, it wouldn't have sold millions of copies across all the platforms it was sold on. Now, mind you, Scalebound, which is a pretty obscure game, well, not obscure, but it's made by Platinum, which makes these obscure games that come out are very Japanese. They did the Metal Gear Solid Rising game. They did Bayonetta 1 and 2. Now, Bayonetta 2 is locked to the Wii U as a console exclusive, whereas the first one came out on all these systems. And Scalebound is a Microsoft exclusive. It's only coming out on Xbox One. And I did my research on this one. But that's a obscure title that probably wouldn't have sold very well if it did come out on all consoles. So by getting that money from Microsoft, they get to make it and they get the advertising push.
And I think that that's kind of the argument, right? Is that you either release on an exclusive console and then you get the money from the console maker basically up front, and that helps you to create and develop a game, or you do it all yourself, you release it on all consoles, and you potentially reach all of those different markets and all of those different people, and you could have higher game sales. But like you mentioned, the whole advertising thing, would we even know about Scalebound right now if it was coming out on all platforms? I say probably not. We wouldn't be hearing about it from Microsoft. We wouldn't be hearing about it from Sony. Like, someone like, you know, some news outlet might pick it up and be like, oh my God, guys, have you seen this? This game is actually really cool. But then it's like, would the game even have been really cool without the Microsoft dollars right at the start?
Yeah. I mean, so, these obscure, and but that's a great argument for these third party exclusives. But, and the reason Street Fighter V it needed that help is because Capcom's been suffering. They've been hemorrhaging money for a very long time. They just announced a Resident Evil 2 remake. Like, that's how bad they are for cash. It's like, let's just remake all our games that made a bunch of money like 20 years ago. Let's do it. And with this article, he's kind of just saying, like, look, like, companies need money, and Sony's willing to throw money at these companies to make these games, and because there's an exchange of funds, it's like, well, if we give you this money that allows you to make a game you want, you have to make it exclusive to our console. You can put it on PC, that's fine, Steam, whatever. But, which I don't understand, because I think Steam is like, I don't know, like, because you aren't giving money to our competitors, it's all good, as long as you're just...
Yeah, kind of. I mean, basically, they're saying the more people have access to it, the better, because that helps hype the game. Mm-hmm. But you're not giving access to people on your direct competitor in terms of hardware, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, most people already own a PC, so it's not like by allowing the game to be released on PC, they're driving any sales for Microsoft or Sony. They're not really driving any hardware sales. They're driving strictly game sales. And if they're driving game sales, that's more word of mouth advertising for them. So, you know, I mean, well, look at Rocket League. You know, everyone had Rocket League on PlayStation or PC, and the ability to basically buy it on PC has made it that much bigger. People who have it on PS4, like, I mean, I have it both places. The game is so freaking good. They're driving sales everywhere because they have both markets, but you're not driving Xbox One sales. You're driving, you know, Rocket League sales and PS4 sales, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And the ending comment in this article is basically Microsoft saying they're investing more and focusing more on first-party IPs, new or otherwise, and his final jab is creatively more difficult than signing deals.
That, to me, that is where it got really, really, like, sour grapes to me. It's like, well, you know, Sony, they're not doing it the hard way. We're doing it the hard way. Who cares what you guys want? Like, I just want you guys to know that what we're doing is, it's creatively difficult. So pay us all the dollars, please. It's like, you know what? If Sony's got the games I want to play, I'm going to freaking pay Sony. Like, I don't care who developed them or which one is creatively more difficult. Like, come on. Like, QQ more.
Well, I mean, it's a very... It's kind of a, it's funny. I'm going to say this, and Microsoft's probably, if they're listening, which they probably aren't. So, but if they were, they'd probably say, oh, that's a bad strategy. Because what they're doing is they're pulling a Nintendo. You know, Nintendo took a very strong stance and said, we're going to focus on first party IPs, new or, well, in the case of Nintendo, you know, overdone. You know, here's our sixth Mario game for Wii U. And I love Nintendo, and I think Mario Makers, if you saw that overview video that came out today, it's like, how do you not want a Wii U now after watching that? But sure. It's an interesting stance to take. I think Microsoft's in a better place to take that stance because they have a console that can compete with the PS4, but it's a very Nintendo approach where it's like, we're not going to throw money at third parties. We are going to put money where we make our money, like first party stuff, our IPs or other people's IPs, but first party on our console type systems that sell hardware. And I don't know. It is the more creative route, and I think far more beneficial to consumers and to gamers, because you're getting products that are more polished and that are of your favorite or maybe your next favorite IP. Like, if you look at Scalebound, like you said, it is getting a lot of press, but a lot of people are actually really looking forward to it because it is a new IP. It's by a developer that is highly regarded, and it's a Microsoft exclusive. So it's kind of a lot of wins there, as opposed to what PS4 is doing. It's like, okay, we're getting a fifth Street Fighter. And for the Street Fighter guys, that's great, but what if I'm not into Street Fighter? What if I want to play something different? And on the PS4, there's really nothing coming out this fall. Like, Uncharted Collection.
Yeah, true.
You know, Microsoft's sort of got a little bit more going on this fall and next year, too, with their lineup that they showed at Gamescom. But, I mean, like, this is stuff that we could talk about forever, but it's really not going to change because it's just business. Like this is mm-hmm. this is how it'll always operate. And it is a it's a candid interview that Phil gave, and I'm sure like the six or seven articles that I was able to find for this topic, he's probably like, well, that's probably one of those quotes that I'm not incredibly happy about, you know, because it like you said, it comes off as sour grapes when really it's just about business. Is he's telling it like it is. And that's what I really like about him, because he speaks his mind and he's a hardcore gamer and he understands where we're all coming from. So I think it's you got to cut him a little bit of slack too, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. If you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com and grab yourself a Gamers in T-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torn Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. We wanted to thank our patrons as we do every week. This week's patron is Braska. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersin. We do all of our patron votes over there, so you can tell us what to play for game night, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to have you back for game night and to really just go with all of this. I have no idea what we're playing. Is there anything up there already?
The post is up.
So I know, I did see the post go up, but
I don't know if there's anybody who's gone in there and said Rocket League yet, which I think is something that'll happen.
Oh, so much Rocket League.
Yeah. Well, I'm not complaining. I love Rocket League. I can definitely play Rocket League for 2 hours. That is not a problem, folks.
But it's we have all kinds of stuff. I mean, we haven't played Depth in a while. There's, you know, Smite, Heroes, Rocket
Killing
League.
Killing Floor.
Killing Floor, Dungeon Defenders 2 we haven't touched in a while. There's all kinds of stuff. Ryan and I can brawl if you guys want to watch us play some Hearthstone.
Is it pre-made decks?
No, it's a remake or re-release or whatever. It's
is it Portals?
Summoner 1.
Damn it.
So I think that's the one where you play the spell and you get a minion of the same cost. I'm not 100% sure. I just skimmed over Twitter before we started the show. But just let us know what you want us to play. If you want it to be Ryan and I entertaining you, or if you guys want to join, that's patreon.com/thegamersin. If you're a patron, go and tell us what you want to see tomorrow night. So that's it for us this week. Ryan, is there anything that you want to pimp before I end the before I end the show? Jocelyn does talking.
Well, I don't think we advertised it until the big day, but because it was delayed a week, this Friday we're going to be on Current Geek. And that's going to be great.
Right.
So
So Scott had some internet issues last week, so we weren't able to do it. But mm-hmm. We're going to do Current Geek. That is at.
Seven p.m. Eastern, and that's at frogpants.com/live, and it's going to be us two on Current Geek, and be there, because if the show doesn't go on, we might actually do another role play episode, because we role played it in the chat, so you kind of had to be there.
Pretty fantastic. So Tom played Scott, mm-hmm. chat room played Tom, and then Ryan and I got to respond to all of the stories. So we took about an hour just typing in chat and hanging out with the chat room and answering all of the questions, talking about all the stories, giving all of our zingy jokes, and it was a lot of fun. So
and
again,
you won the
that's
quiz.
I did win the quiz. 876 to 875, I believe.
I don't blame Scott or Tom. Or
Scott
real Tom.
Tom
or Gavel Mc, Gavel Mc, damn it, what's his name? I can't believe I forgot. I'm blowing this. The Gavel guy. Bangy McGavel. That's not his name. What's his name? You're just watching me squirm.
Yeah, it's fun.
Anyways, I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sorry, Tom, if you're hearing this, but the Gavel gave it to him. But I don't blame them for giving it to you. Like, if you're gonna fake a show, you probably don't want to upset the most competitive person. Like
you're pretty laid back, but yeah. Tom knows I would come for him.
He'd be getting emails for a week straight, and he'd be like, man, I can't believe we can't do the show for a week, and I'm gonna be getting emails from I just should let her win at least by 1 point. Like, then Ryan won't feel so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Gavel McGavelstein, which I know is not right. That's not right at all.
But yeah, so we had a lot of fun with Tom in the chat room, and we'll be doing an actual episode this Friday as long as construction doesn't cut Scott's internet cable again. Cross your fingers.
Is it Gavel McCloud? Is that it?
All right, so if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is now youtube.com/AmoveTV. Yeah. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com and let us know what you think about console exclusives or what you thought about Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. I'm totally choking right now. It's amazing. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Drink some water.